Hello and welcome to RC Talk, the voice of Ratio Christi at Marshall University. My name is John Mays. I'm your host. I'm also the regional director for the states of West Virginia and Pennsylvania, along with being the chapter director at Marshall University. I skipped last week due to some personal issues that came up. I hope those that listen can forgive me of that. But a lot has happened since then, since the last podcast, which would have been now 2 weeks ago. But if you remember, what I was talking about previously was the problem of evil. I mean, we can't stop the problem of evil. However, we can learn how to, as Christians, address that issue. At the time, there had been 2 mass shootings, one in El Paso, one in Dayton. And since then, when I say there's been a lot happen, I'm referring to the Christian world. There's been at least 2 well-known individuals say that they're walking away from Christianity because they don't have answers. So I was torn on whether to talk about that or to stick with giving you a little bit more information on the problem of evil. And I think I'm going to stick with the problem of evil. Most people have never heard of the 2 individuals regardless. And I'm not sure that most people care about the problem of evil anyway, but I thought that would be more helpful out of the 2. So one of the biggest problems for Christianity, for those that don't believe, is the problem of evil. But it's also the problem for all the worldviews or religions, including atheism. So I guess we should start with, what is evil? I mean, does it really exist? Some people say that it doesn't. I don't know how they get by that, but they say that evil doesn't really exist. I guess it's the way you look at it. But we know, as professing followers, that all good things come from God. Yet we also seem to know that evil, indeed. So, point being, what is evil? There's 2 kinds, moral and natural. And moral is probably the biggest problem. That would have to do with the mass shootings and such things as that. And natural would be your tornadoes and hurricanes, and pretty self-explanatory. But the moral problem is often stated as dark is defined as the absence of light, so evil is the absence of good. Evil is what ought not to be. Basically, evil lacks of absolute perfection in created being. It lacks God's perfection. And I've mentioned before that without God, then there is no such thing as evil. There's nothing to compare it to. That's what I'm trying to say. Where a lot of people talk about evil and things being bad, the answer is, what are you basing that on? Because without God, without a standard, then how do you call something good or bad? And God is the only perfect that there is. God is the standard. So if you're going to call something evil, then obviously you need to have something to measure it by. And as believers, we measure that by God. So keep in mind when people talk about Christianity that, you know, if God's so loving, then why would he let all these things happen? And I'm going to go in a little bit more into that. Real quick, the natural evil is the undeserved, unnecessary, and there's no good that we know of to offset the hurricanes, tornadoes, and such things that we face in moral evil. But I just want to throw that out there. Anyway, outside of not wanting to be held accountable, in reality, if someone uses evil as an excuse for not following God, then they're basically giving you God. That's what I was trying to say momentarily ago. I mean, how can you use bad without good? But I regress, and we'll move on. The moral problem of evil has 2 parts. That's the logical part and the evidential part. The logical part asks, are God and evil logically compatible? And we talked about truth and objective moral values and such things. So what do we do? I mean, because here's the technical side of how this argument goes. If God is omnipotent, able to eliminate evil, all-powerful, can God do anything? If God's omniscient, knows how to eliminate all-knowing, then does he? Omnibenevolent, would want to eliminate. He's all-loving and kind, or is he? Basically, is he, God, willing to prevent evil but not able, then he is impotent. Is he able but not willing, then he's malevolent. If he both able and willing, then why is there evil? And I know a lot of people don't run up and have these kind of conversations with you, and that's the reason I was torn on what to actually talk about today. But I want you to understand that there is a way to handle that, and that's what I'm trying to give you. You just need to think about it, and next time that you have a conversation, if you have a conversation with anyone concerning Christianity or trying to share the gospel or whatever, here's your way around one of the logical argument is called the free will defense. Basically, and a lot of people believe that we have free will, and we may. And that's an entirely different podcast because there's different types of free will. And this is what possibly gets me so frustrated. I mean, because most people that I know that profess to be followers don't, A, care about any of this, and B, don't know any of this. So logically, it follows that they're not talking to anybody about any of this. The free will defense is just that God gave us free will, and it's our fault that evil exists. Humans can freely decide to act in ways that really do advance goodness in the world or really do cause evil in the world. So there's your free will defense, and it's actually very successful. In fact, most philosophers no longer believe the logical problem of evil exists, meaning the three, omnipotent, omniscient, omnibenevolent. He can, he could, he won't, whatever. So that moves us on to the evidential problem, which is basically trying to disprove the existence of God. Two examples of this argument. One comes from philosopher William Rowe. A slow, painful death of Bambi burned in a forest, started by lightning, and an actual case of a beating, rape, and murder of a 5-year-old girl in Michigan. There's no known good results from either of those. But a lack of goodness does not reject the God of the Bible. The basic answer or thought to this particular problem goes with this, the basic answer or thought that goes with this particular problem is God may indeed allow a certain amount of what we consider evil. Why? For the greater good. And it's been called, what? The greater good argument. And I think a lot of people are satisfied with that. They just let it go. That, you know, why do bad things happen? Well, you know, God has a plan and we don't know his plan and such things as that. And that's okay. That's one way to answer it. But there's a lot more to convincing someone that doesn't believe in God or doesn't believe in our Bible or the resurrection or all these other things that I discuss quite often. How do you get around, well, you know, God's all good and loving and he just lets some bad things happen? To me, that doesn't seem like an answer, because however, we don't know God's plan, and by allowing it is not being bad. That just goes back to be allowing us to have free will. So basically, when people come off with stuff like that, they want to point out all the bad things. They're talking about rape and torture and disease and poor little Bambi burning. But what about all the good evidence for God? There's two different arguments. Bad equals no God, and we say evidence equals God. There's more evidence for God than there are what we would call bad things. And I feel like this argument self-defeats from the beginning. I mean, because if they're claiming bad, what are they basing it on? So it goes right back to the starting point. And I don't want you to have a circular conversation, you know, well, what are you basing it on? They'll tell you what they base it on. People can be good without God, or can they? Something to think about, because there's a lot of good people and a lot of people that profess Christianity that simply believe that as long as we do good things, then we're good and we're going to heaven. Okay, when something bad happens, then we want to blame the person or the weapon or something to that effect, and that doesn't add up. It's one way or the other. So you need to consider what you're saying to people and have an idea of what you're going to talk about when such things as this comes up. So real quick, the logical argument would disprove God if we don't have free will. And the evidential argument makes God's existence less probable. So think about what they're claiming. If there's no God, then what are they basing it on? There's more evidence for God than there is against God. So I know that was kind of short to the point, and I promise you there's a whole lot more to it than that, but prayerfully that gives you an idea of at least how to have a conversation. I know it was direct and to the point. Just keep in mind that if evil does exist, that evil is the way things ought not to be. So how should things be? There's a way to consider it. And if they should be a certain way, why should they be that way? Well, you have to have a standard to measure it by. The Christian standard is God. Those that aren't followers, then they need to back up what they're telling you of why they're not followers. And if it happens to be something that they consider bad, then you need to know how to overcome that. Questions or comments, email me at johnmays@ratiochristi.org. Or if you'd like to join our financial support team, you can do that by going to johnmays.ratiochristi.org. Prayerfully, you weren't as thunderstruck.